Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast. I am Spencer Hall. This is College Football Week 8. The review, that is, since Week 8 just happened. And we have to somehow process it because, there's a bit. I don't think it was an earth-shaking weekend, but it did have its moments. And I think it set us up for the final push. I think it set us up for the last, 6 weeks of the season, roughly, in fairly brutal fashion, if I have to add it all up, which we will attempt to do. Joining me, as always, Ryan Nanny, live from Brooklyn, New York. Hello, Ryan.
The year of pestilence and doom is upon us. Shelter yourselves. Go to your loved ones. It matters not. The fire will rain from the skies. Penn State, Notre Dame will play in the national championship. You will have to choose a side. All sides are wrong.
It's time. You foretold it. So
it's not that I foretold it. It's that the year 2017 demands it. And I know that that game won't be played until 2018, except somehow we will all wake up on January 1st and 2017 will say, "It's December 32nd. I'm not dead. You could never kill me." But my Google calendar's shut up.
That sounds a lot like James Franklin.
Yeah. This is why 2017 is bad. We are going to have serious discussions about Brian Kelly and James Franklin being good at their jobs. Yep.
Jason, please help us out. I need some hope. I need a ray of light.
As a lifelong Notre Dame fan, I am here to tell you that this is all fine and good and the normal way of the universe. Notre Dame, I don't know what is there to get used to. Notre Dame has always been good. They were good last year before. Always have good records.
Jason has a Ron Palace tattoo. People don't know that. And he won't show it to you, but he has it.
I'll show it to you.
Okay.
Show it to you. Send me for one like, for every like, a Ron Palace tattoo shot. One like equals one
pow tap.
One pow tap.
Hashtag pow tap picks.
One.
But
one,
you have to include the word hashtag in the hashtag.
Right. Yeah.
It's like when you try to tell someone your email address is like 123 underscore spell out underscore, but 123 is also written out, and like all that is the address. Like all the words I just said. Or included in the address, like even the part where I said it's all spelled
even,
out. You have
even
to type
this
that
part that he's saying right now, even all of it, the part I'm saying is somehow part of the email address. Whatever you're thinking in your head, that's also part of the email address.
And also read, the part where I just said at gmail.com, that's in it, as is this.
Read line two. Read first bullet. Now read second bullet.
Yeah, it's fine. We're going to get a Penn State... We're going to get a Penn State Notre Dame national championship game. And the best part about this is it's going to be in Atlanta. So Georgia fans are going to feel great about it.
Come on down.
Hey, look, it's the old Vandy coach and the team that you beat. Go Dogs.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I mean, we got a lot of Penn State folks. We got a lot of Notre Dame folks. That's fine.
Well, you're a Notre Dame fan and you live in Atlanta, so.
Yeah, my community of fellow Notre Dame fans, man, we all over.
You know, the thing Notre Dame fans say, we all over.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look everywhere, and the last house we moved from, the yard, we got written up for it by the HOA all the time because the yard was not technically blades of grass. They said it was weeds, and I said, no, look it up. Clover is grass, therefore it stays. So that is proof of my Notre Dame fandom. I've fought for clovers.
And for years, Jason would not allow Monopoly to be played at night at his house. We don't do night games here. We don't
do night games
here. 3:30 Monopoly or nothing.
We do it on NBC. We only play Monopoly during Friends.
The popular NBC show Friends.
I am going to ask both of you for help discussing this week's Notre Dame game, though, because I didn't watch any of it. And I didn't do that because I am trying to throw shade at Notre Dame or I don't care about them. I didn't do it because part of the calculus I find during the college football week is that if somebody's leading 28-0 at halftime, I'm not watching the rest of that game unless it gets close. And guess what? It didn't.
Yeah, I as a lifelong Notre Dame fan, I've found that the Irish do a lot better when I don't watch. Like last year, I watched a lot of Notre Dame. I watched the like, whole NC State game. It went poorly for my Irish. You know, I watched that Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State. Did not go well. So this year, I watched a lot of the Georgia game, and we lost the Georgia game. Otherwise, I have not. I haven't watched us at all, and we just keep winning. And like this game, you know, you look up and the score is 7-0, and it's like, well, USC is in a bad spot here. So that's a, you know, I'm going to stick on this Michigan Penn State game for a while. And you look up, it's 14-0, 21-0. Okay, I don't need to tune into that game at all. I don't know if I saw a single second of it, to be quite honest.
By the way, the internet is responsible for Notre Dame's success. They are.
Okay.
We are included in this, and this is why. Okay. Last year, I don't know if you've heard, but Notre Dame did go 4-8. In going 4-8, they lost like I know they only had 8 losses. They lost something like 22 single score games. Very close games. All right. And somehow only ended up with 8 losses, right? So one of the most spectacular of those losses, just in terms of execution, things you could make fun of, not that you would make fun of Notre Dame, we did, was this, that when did they play this game? They played it in at NC State. They played it October 28th. It was an afternoon game. Is there anything else remarkable about this game, just circumstantially?
Yeah, there were like 3 inches of water on the field and more of it coming from the sky.
Yeah. There was a lot of water in that game. Is there anything else notable about this game in terms of, I don't know, maybe strategy? You know, because I figure what you would want was in a game where it was obviously a monsoon, you're just going to keep the ball like on the ground, right? We're going to run the ball.
No, see, Notre Dame knew that's the ground is where the water is. Okay. Once it hits the ground, it all pools together. The ball's definitely going to get wet. If you throw the ball well enough, you can throw it between the raindrops and keep it dry. So that's why they threw it a lot.
So it's like the Matrix.
It's exactly like the Matrix, except, you know, with one true God, not Keanu Reeves.
Yes. So.
I would say, if Keanu Reeves is Jesus returned to Earth, that will kind of suck.
I don't see any disadvantages in this. Yeah, none.
I'll just be like, hey, Jesus, why did you let them remake Point Break? You could have stopped that. It wasn't good.
But I was busy.
Jesus lets people make their own mistakes.
Damn.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Jesus is a cool dad.
Yeah, he's Mark Richt. He's like, oh, if you want to keep the game close until the fourth quarter, that's fine. That's fine. You got grace. You'll figure it out. It'll be great. The game that I was referencing, NC State, they threw the ball 26 times in a monsoon, in a hurricane, in a cyclone. Only one of those terms is accurate. But the imagery's still there. 26 times, and Brian Kelly, in a list of 500 things that people enjoy citing about Brian Kelly, both, I think, disingenuously and genuinely, calling 26 passes in the middle of a hurricane while NC State called 14 and had absolutely no desire to do anything to attempt to win this game, but they just waited for Notre Dame to lose it, and that's exactly what Notre Dame did. I think he heard that, and I think he decided the passing was bad. Because Notre Dame is now, if you watch them, you could call them run first. It's basically Alabama's defense, but a little more spread out. That's all it is.
I'm honestly surprised that you brought this game up. The NC State game.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, obviously we've talked ad nauseum about the weather conditions, but I figured you, as someone who can't swim, would not want to talk about a weather-drenched game.
You know, I'm really fond of this running gag that I can't swim. This is great. So I'm just going to go with it. Yes. Yes. It was terrifying that I can't swim, being the aquaphobe that I am. That's why I hate Aquaman and Submariner, because they remind me of my deepest fear, water.
Water. Water that's even slightly deep. Do you want us to get you swim lessons in the off season?
No. I think I can ride this out. Right?
Like floaties or swimmies or something?
Yeah. What, a life jacket? Life jacket's fine.
I don't know, man. You've been lifting. That life jacket's not going to fit.
I've been lifting. I need a life jacket. Nothing floats.
You're going to have to wear like a kilt.
That's fine. I can do that. You know what I could wear? Mm. I could wear like those booms that they put out with, that they put around oil slicks. You could just put one around me.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Just to contain you.
That's fine. The dolphins are my friends. They will sense my distress and carry me home like I'm Dick Van Dyke.
And that's why you're not Jay Cutler.
Yeah, that's why I'm not Jay Cutler.
Who also can't swim. That's why there's that nude picture of him looking at the ocean, saying like, "I don't know, I don't think so. I wanna fuck the ocean, but I can't swim."
But it wants to fuck me. In so many words, oh, the irony of Jay Cutler's entire life.
That's basically what Moby Dick is about. We just summed it up. That's a B- book report.
But yeah, I think we made fun of Notre Dame and they decided, oh, the forward pass? Yeah, that'll just get us made fun of. Let's abandon that completely. Also, you have a really good backfield. Like, you have an unquestionably excellent backfield that you really don't have to do much with in order to make them successful. Here, zone read. There you go. Couple options, a couple QB power plays, a couple straight inside zone plays. Look, now we're going to run for like 3,000 yards this year.
Oh, the outside boy has returned.
Oh. Hey, yeah, I went outside.
Cool.
There are reasons, but I don't really need
It's cool.
Yeah, you're good.
Now,
no one really cares.
Now, I'm sure we'll talk about it later this week, but it will be interesting to see if Notre Dame can keep that up. Against NC State, because NC State is pretty legit on the defensive side of the ball,
especially along the defensive line, which is the best place to start if you really, really want to mess up a run first attack that averages, you know, I don't know, around 330 yards a game. That seems like a lot. Like I pointed it out at the top, whatever today, but if you look at like who Notre Dame's peers are, when you go, well, who do they look like on the field? They look like Navy. They look like they run the ball like Navy does, just not out of a triple option, which is kind of more impressive. They're not even giving you three things to look at. It's pretty much two, and they're just pounding people with it.
Notre Dame's running the single option.
Run it. Hey, listen, you know, that's like you'd think like they're running. Look, they've got Adams, who's outstanding, by the way. You have to say that now because you can't. Notre Dame fans. Sort of glomming on and waking up, taking off the Yankee hat since that's done, and they're putting on the Notre Dame hat. Just 1,000 little troll ballins all saying things like, what about Josh Adams? What about him? Anytime you mention a running back, because the only fans who are worse than what about me-ing in college football than Ohio State fans are Notre Dame fans. And unfortunately, they're awake. You'll have to deal with them when you appreciate this otherwise very appreciable football team.
Now, I did watch the other half of the future national championship, Penn State. I did watch them against Michigan. And I do almost feel bad for Michigan because that game had the like, okay, Penn State jumps out to a big lead. Michigan comes crawling back. And you're like, okay, we good. We got a fight on our hands. And then in the second half, Penn State says, yes, we do. Except I have a lead pipe and you have hands. Lead pipe wins. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, that was probably Michigan's first mistake here. Back to the drawing board, I guess.
Those with hands will be broken.
Those who flail, slappers only.
Yeah. This is just, I mean, so I looked this up and in Jim Harbaugh's tenure, short though it is, at Michigan, they've only lost one other game by more than one score. And that was the Ohio State game, I believe his first season in Ann Arbor. That was also a 29-point beating. So, like, it's this Michigan team is obviously beatable, but it's hard to stomp on. And Penn State did not, I mean, maybe they had a little trouble lacing up the boots, but once they got there, they got to stomping. 6.4 yards a carry, 10.8 yards a pass. Oh, it was brutish.
There was an Office Space fax machine stomping. There was some things being worked out in those stomps.
I you know how you can the coaches can agree to like say, okay, the fourth quarter is only going to be 10 minutes, or okay, we're just going to call it. I feel like James Franklin was probably asking the refs, like, give us a fifth quarter. I want to get to 60.
All right. Yeah. The overtime rules in college football are very simple.
Franklin running out there trying to do a coin toss.
James Franklin's continuing tradition of being the most belligerent man in the room at all times.
Yeah.
Not belligerent. How's this? Like, just prideful to the point for looking for a fight, looking for a slight. Unlike Nick Saban, he's not just writing things down to construct a motivational machine. He's actively sort of bantaming around, right? Like, he's all chest to me. Like, it's just, bro?
Yeah.
Bro?
I'm pretty sure James Franklin thinks Kill Bill is a documentary. He's like, yeah, uh-huh. You wake up from a coma and you just start killing all those who wronged you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the best planet Earth I've ever seen.
That and I thought it was kind of lenient. Like, they didn't get over quite on Michigan like they could have.
They tried.
They missed some shots, right? Like, I think it was a 4th and 5 where their idea of a 4th and 5 play was to go for a slot fade. Which, I love you, Joe Moorhead. It's offensive coordinator for Penn State. He's aggressive as hell. He likes throwing the deep ball. It's a beautifully coached deep ball. It's not just your sort of random arm punt that sometimes people bring down. No, it's an aggressive, well-coached, and lethal weapon. Also, if you want to know, like, other dick moves, just I wanted to name a couple of plays that they use heavily in this game to indicate what dick moves Penn State was deliberately putting on Michigan once they were broken. Wheel routes with Saquon Barkley. Dick. Absolute dick move, because Saquon Barkley's bad to cover anyway, but you get him in there like against a linebacker on a wheel route, oh, you're not being nice. Also, running an inverted veer look where Barkley's the decoy and Trace McSorley keeps and then jukes 2 or 3 guys out of his shoes on the way to the end zone. Oh no, I know I said it was lenient. It was not nice though. It could have been worse.
And John O'Korn got sacked 7 times. So that was fun.
That, I can't decide, by the way, like how much to credit Penn State for that, because everybody's been sacking John O'Korn.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's why Florida couldn't win that Michigan game. Didn't get to line up against a ton of John O'Korn. Not fair, if you ask me.
Yes, the elusive Wilton Spate.
That's what it did it. Wilton Spate's wheels, man. Wheeling Wilton.
So now this is also the part of the podcast where we are required to tell you that Michigan and Rutgers are tied in the Big Ten East right now.
For now.
Fourth place outright is on the line this Saturday.
And you know what? Can't count out Rutgers at this point. You can count out Rutgers at this point.
You can go on ahead.
You can go and just check that.
I would like to point out also, while we're discussing very important Big Ten news, there's another 6-1 team in the Big Ten.
Michigan State?
That'd be Michigan State.
Sure.
Yep. This game finished 17-9, and you say, my, what a robust, wholesome, virtuous score for a workman-like, living, breathing lunch pail of a team.
My favorite part about this game was Michigan State scored too many points. They got to the end of game situation where they were up by one, driving, get the first down. LJ Scott, he of the many parking tickets, just kept it in drive and went ahead and scored to put Michigan State up by eight, which is not a safe lead. So you had the image of Mark D'Antonio on the sideline frustrated about his team scoring, which was absolute perfection and summed up so much about Mark D'Antonio.
Well, I'm mad that you got to 17.
Once that game got
in the situation where it was 10-9, I was like, for Indiana, that 1 point is 500 points. If they were up by 10 and Indiana was trailing, I'd be like, I don't know, we got a shot here. 1 point though, oh, Michigan State's gonna ride that to hell. They could have played for 30 years and the score would have been 10-9.
I'm gonna pack this point in salt. I'm going to stretch it out over months. I live outside in the winter, drink my own piss, and I live on that point. Just carve it up, boil it. Doesn't bother me. That's all I need is 1 point. Hold on, I'm going to smoke 8 more cigarettes. I ripped the filters out beforehand.
I have no doubt Michigan State, if they were a person, would be a really ripped dude who smoked.
That dude who lifts in jeans? Yeah, man, Michigan State.
I mean, yeah, just take the mascot and, yeah. Put a tank top on him. I think you're good.
Put a tank top on him. Give him like a really dark backstory, and there we go.
I love that Nas song about Michigan State.
All I need is one point.
The most dangerous team in America win single-digit games. They're back. They're back, y'all. 6-1. Speaking of teams, I want to attack a state here for a moment. A state that really we read wrong. We misread this whole state because
is it Florida?
Oh no.
Okay.
No.
Well,
we did read that incorrectly, which isn't rare.
No.
But what we did misread was the entire state of Arizona, because what we forgot that there were two wily men who are at their best when their jobs are in danger. That'd be Todd Graham, and that'd be Rich Rodriguez.
Two men who are good at being employed.
So good. Dude, they're so good at being employed.
No matter what.
And getting jobs. Getting jobs, staying employed. Because you forget that. You get these fancy people who assume that, you know, a meal's a given and a paycheck is a grant. No, sir. Where Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez are from? Those two men have eaten beanie weenies for months on end. Those two men have suffered. Maybe as a result of their own actions sometimes, but still, they understand it. They know how to stretch a dollar. They know! And that's why they're in Arizona, a place where water isn't even scarce, man. And talent, even less so. Somehow, these two men have gotten their teams forecast to be either in program collapse or near program collapse by very smart people, including us. Arizona State's 4-3, y'all. And they beat up on Utah 30-10. And Arizona's even more remarkable because just sitting on their bench, they had one of the most electric talents in the nation.
How did this happen? How did this happen, man?
They just decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to try something different here in week 5. We're going to put Tecmo Bowe in at quarterback. I know we haven't been playing him all that much. Tecmo Bowe has just been sitting over there being all digitized and whatnot, but let's just try it, see what happens. Turns out it's actually a pretty good idea to play Tecmo Bowe at quarterback. Arizona State. I don't know. They just decided one day, we just don't give up points anymore. We've given up enough points.
Yeah, no, they kind of did that like drunkard's miracle thing where they just wake up one day and they're like, you know, I'm tired of drinking. Weird. And you're like, oh, that won't last. 35 years later, you're like, I don't know, Walter just gave it up.
Now we have the weird problem of, are we going to have enough room on the coaching carousel? Because usually you need a few jobs to come open so that you can sort of shuffle everybody around and get that good movement. But right now, I mean, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oregon State is obviously open. Maybe UCLA. Even that, I don't even know if UCLA is paying attention anymore. The Oregon game was a home game for them, homecoming, and I would estimate roughly 4,000 people were there. It was very lightly attended.
Are you saying Dan Mullen is not going to have any places to interview?
Damn, he's doomed. He's stuck forever.
Man.
I just want to go home. You can't, Dan.
You can never go home.
You can never go home.
But he just keeps leaping into the same body over and over and over and over.
Dang it, I'm at the Chick-fil-A this time. He just keeps waking up in the home of like a big, lummoxy, 6'4" quarterback who can run and kind of pass. And he's like, well, yeah, I guess you got to come to Starkville and throw for 3,000 yards and run for 1,000.
Yeah, we should divert briefly to note that Kentucky, who was looking pretty good to start the year, 5-1. Yeah, these were a lot of close wins. And yeah, they fucked up the Florida game, something stupid. But still, looking like a reasonably sharp team, considering they had a bunch of players injured. Man, y'all just got the boot taken to your face. 45-7. And when you look at the rest of the Kentucky schedule, you look down and you're like, all right, they got to play Tennessee in what may be Butch Jones saves his job for at least a week. And then they got to play Ole Miss. And then they got to go to Vanderbilt. And then they got to go to Georgia. And then they got to host Louisville, a Louisville team who you would think will not be overlooking them based on last year's loss. And you can kind of see, like, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you can kind of see how 5-1 turns to 5-7 real fucking quick. And that shit sucks.
Yeah, well, Kentucky can see that too. You know they do. Like, they're the fan base. They're the fan base who I really most believe when they go, oh, you know, this thing's just going to end up being 5-7. I can feel it in my bones. I never go.
Yeah, the Kentucky football fan base is the one you don't want to sit next to on a plane. Because they're like, yeah, you know, most of the mechanical failures on airplanes, they can't diagnose in the limited time between one plane landing and the other one taking off. So it's really a crapshoot every time. Anyway, I'm single. No kids. How about you?
Yep. Kentucky football. The cancer's in my bones, but that's cool.
Hey, you think about moving into the neighborhood? Yeah, we got pretty good schools. And also, I'll set your house on fire. So you might like it here.
You'd be surprised what the legal limit of toxic chemicals in public water is. It's high. It's surprisingly high. It's
so high. You can almost lose to Southern Miss and Eastern Kentucky and Eastern Michigan and Eastern Tech and all sorts of Easterns and still be 5-1.
Like, being on a football team like that's got to be a trip, because they have to go into a game, right? Kentucky has to go into a game against, I don't know, like LSU, right? Because they play LSU in November. It's the next to last game. They got to walk into that stadium. They got to forget that they're the team that, like, you know, struggled against UMass, right? because that's why athletes are different, man. Because if that had been me against UMass and I'm rolling out against LSU and they're on the other side of the field looking real large, right? Very burly and unruly and coming in my direction. You know what I'm going to remember? Because I'm not a competitor and athlete. I'll be like, I'm that same dude who only beat UMass by 4.
Well, then you might be good enough to play Tennessee football, because I think that's what they were thinking against Alabama.
Well, that's correct, though. Like, that's, I mean, that's completely correct. That's the way it should have been. I enjoyed the Alabama-Tennessee game for this. I enjoy it for the setup, because everybody knew, including Tennessee fans, that they were going to lose this game. It was a foregone conclusion. There were only little moments of, like, light tweak in the game to remind Tennessee not only that Alabama was much better, but that they were in hell. Because everybody, when you play Alabama, it's, oh, they're much deeper and better than we are right now, and probably will be. Like if Nick Saban drops dead tonight, right? They will be better than everybody else for 2 or 3 years, based strictly on the depth chart alone, right? It'll take a long time for somebody to mediocre that program up. Now, that said, I think Tennessee went in not only knowing that, but knowing that they'd have lost 11 games and that there would be some sort of special hell for them as a result of their own mediocrity. That's a different thing, right? Not that, oh, those people are way better, but we're going to be throwing some suck into this too. Like our own unique brand of suck, a particular one that we've carried for, I don't know, offensively 12 quarters, and that they almost scored.
Oh, God. Yeah, basically scored. And then, I mean, it's almost like it's like some sort of a self-aware irony machine or something when they get to the red zone. Like, you just think, like, this is going to be the one that they're finally going to punch this thing in, right? This is impossible. This is statistically improbable. Like, Colorado State scored 20 points or whatever on Alabama. Like, how can they be this bad at this?
What it is it's one of those mobile games that once you get to the red zone, it's like, hey, if you pay $4.99, just get a touchdown right here. Just click here, connect it to your Apple Pay. Look at that. You sure you don't want it? Okay. You can maybe get a touchdown on your own. Okay. No? All right, try again. Again, look, so, just bump the price down to $3.99. No? Okay.
Butch sees that and he says, no, we're going to continue to compete. We're going to go out and we're going to grind until we level up enough to get a touchdown on our own for free, no matter how many one experience point ogres we have to slay in the fields below the mountain. We're going to do that for hours and hours and hours until we're able to land one hit on the dragon.
I would love to watch Butch Jones play Zelda. You know, the name of the game is Smashing Vases. That's really where we think the value is in this program. We burst into another man's home and we smash his vase. We take what's inside. Now I hear what you're saying, that there's a main quest, that there's some sort of sword or villain that I have to go find. Not to me. It's just about vase smashing.
Oh, man, you know what you can do? You can gather hearts. Mm-hmm. That dude loves to collect hearts. That's all he does on National Signing Day, is just stock up on hearts. He would fucking love that game.
We're the champions of Extra Life. That's what we are.
We'll just be here a long time, taking a lot of damage, because we have a lot of hearts. You just can't. That really is the Tennessee predicament right now, isn't it? This dude is just still here taking damage. Well, yeah, he tried to tell you he's got a lot of hearts.
You know, first of all, I object that this ocarina does not play Rocky Top. Find that insulting, number one. Tried several times.
I'm looking at the rest of Tennessee's schedule, and man, what
up? Well, now we get to the fun part, because if you look at the East right now, just the conference standings, there are three teams at the bottom that are all 0-4, Tennessee, Vandy, and Mizzou. And the nice thing is, it's like, hey, play date, y'all get together. Somebody's going to get off that. At least two of you will get to get off that Ofer streak. Isn't that nice? We think. We can't prove it.
Let's not count our chickens.
Games do get canceled. That's a fair point.
This is, by the way, this is the world's worst National Novel Writing Month prompt ever. Is looking at start October 28th. Butch Jones looks at the Kentucky game plan.
Oh, man.
As I lay dying, the Butch Jones story.
God. So, yeah, like I'm looking at it.
And as go, I lay trying.
I think John Curry has, through some sources, said that Butch Jones' job could be safe. Relatively safe if, you know, they won out after the Alabama game. I see at least two instances here of them possibly getting hammered.
Well, but hold on. Let me walk you through this. Let's assume that the universe as it currently exists only functions around making Tennessee fans miserable. As evidence, I give you, again, the national championship game that's going to happen, where James Franklin, former Vanderbilt coach who beat Tennessee will be in the national championship, and Brian Kelly, the better version of Butch Jones, will be in the national championship. So let's assume that the universe as we know it only exists to maximize Vol pain. I think Tennessee absolutely wins these last five games because nothing will be worse at this point than if they don't fire Butch. Like, well, if they do run the table, if they beat Kentucky and Southern Miss and Mizzou and LSU, which at that point may be a great win, maybe a meaningless win, and Vanderbilt, will they look back and say, what a season it was? What a wonderful season where we lost to Georgia 41-0 and had 18 tries at the goal line to beat South Carolina and Alabama set betting history against us. What a wonderful year. Print the t-shirts.
They might.
Okay,
fair. Beat Vandy bad enough. Beat those bastards at Vandy bad enough. Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of like last year, right? Like, we were in sort of a similar situation. You know, they just caught fire in November and started lighting folks up. They just said, you know what, fuck it, Josh Dobbs, you're the OC now, you know? So, like, well, you do that again, you start scoring 60 points every week against these bad teams.
Yeah, but at this point, after the Bama game, they were 5-2. They're not 5-2 right now.
They're within a couple games of that.
Yeah, I mean, how flexible is your math?
Tennessee flexible. That's how flexible.
Oh, then come on.
Yeah.
You can't measure heart.
You got. Hey, listen, all right? You got a round to the nearest five. And three, well, that's closer to 5-0, ain't it? It's a 5-win Tennessee program right here.
See? I think we ought to be ranked, to be quite honest, with that
Jesus,
record.
Jesus.
That's a great win for Bama.
They're definitely ranked with this record, huh? Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, sorry.
What else happened this week?
What, man?
Iowa State got ranked. Hold on, Iowa State got ranked. Can we talk about that for a damn minute?
Iowa State is ranked, goddamn it.
Iowa State has not been ranked since 2005. And if you just pick through your brain and think about all the teams that have had, like, meteoric rises and plunged and gone back down to... I mean, Washington alone, think about what they have done since 2005, and in the entirety of that stretch, Iowa State has not been ranked.
Oh, hey, this was our goal for Iowa State this year. This was back in July or whatever.
That's right.
We said, Iowa State, we want you to be ranked for 1 week. I don't care if it's bullshit. I don't care if you show up at 25 and then leave, which you're playing TCU. That's probably what's happening.
It probably could happen. But it's not. But it's not bullshit. It's. I mean.
The ranking number 25 is always bullshit, but they have earned that bullshit. They beat Oklahoma, and they have only lost two games, and they were competitive, you know, in both of them that I can recall.
Do you know Do you know who's next highest in others receiving votes?
Michigan.
Texas A&M.
Another team that has been pretty... You know, not enraging, I guess.
Yep.
That's another team we can say has earned its bullshit ranking of 26.
I will tell you, though, if I had told you that they were going to be 5-2 on October 21st and that with Baylor still on the schedule, the probability of an Iowa State win takes them to a bowl game, done. I would have taken that if I was an Iowa State fan, right?
Like, absolutely.
Six wins, bowl game. Shocking upset of Oklahoma. I would have taken that showcase and run, Bob. That's what I would have done with no further deliberation.
This is also probably a good time where we should check in on, I know we talked about the Michigan State game already, but we should check in on the chicken bet, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Could not agree more.
So to review, Indiana currently 3-4.
Uh-huh.
What is, and you have the under on this bet, correct?
Yes.
And
yes.
What is the number that Indiana has to reach win wise for you to owe our colleague Stephen Godfrey chicken?
Indiana has to go 7-5 in the regular season. If he's been saying 6-6, that's fake news. He keeps trying to say that, and it's not going to work. My attorney Ryan Annie was there when the contract was signed.
Yeah, I can confirm.
there was a game canceled due to weather, but it was rescheduled, and we agreed that the rescheduled game would count the same as the canceled game was. So 7-5 is still the mark Godfrey must hit in order to cash this wager. We're 1-1. This here's the rubber match, and I'm feeling great.
So I'm not feeling great for Indiana right now. Because the remaining games, they have to win 4 out of these 5. At Maryland, home against Wisconsin, at Illinois, home against Rutgers, at Purdue. I feel like Wisconsin we're probably going to throw out. That's the least likely. And then they have to sweep these other 4 teams. And it's possible none of those teams has been so strong that you say, oh, no way Indiana beats them. But on the other hand, only one of those teams has been so garbage that you say, yes, Indiana definitely beats them. Curiously enough, that team is Illinois. It is not Rutgers. Illinois is straight garbage this year.
Yeah, that's so we're hitting 4. I'll grant that. And Wisconsin, that of course, that's a ranked Big Ten opponent. So we are looking at a situation where Indiana is like leading with like 45 seconds to go.
Sure, and maybe even leading by 2 scores somehow.
Yeah, and you think like, okay, Wisconsin scoring and scoring twice in under like 13 minutes, impossible. And then somehow it happens. Somehow.
Yeah, no, I feel like this is one of those games where you watch Indiana get out to a 21-point lead, but not a 28-point lead. And you just know, you go, it's when they get 2 drives off and you go, man, nothing can stop them. And then on that third drive, it's field goal attempt, 17 points. And you go, nope, that's it. It's all they get.
Basically, Indiana football is every silver medalist in the 4x100. Where you're like, oh man, through two guys, they got a big lead. They're looking great. Oh, got reeled in. Look at that.
Is that what it is? Is that Indiana is always the one on the inside track, so you're deceived into thinking they're farther along than they are?
Yep. Lane 1, Indiana.
Oh, that's what it is. Man, but the outside track is actually like 5 meters shorter.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
They're also basically like, they also are the proverbial person at the movie theater who eats all their snacks in the first 10 minutes, right? Like,
just sits down and, ah!
Yeah. What
like,
you got?
Just sits down and eats like Fantastic Mr. Fox and then looks up an hour in, so hungry.
Yeah. That's always a sign that like a team only has so much talent and so many ideas when they race out to like, oh man, our scripted plays work really well. Now let's get into that like play calling and flow of the game and see what our talent can do. And you're like, well, they did 3 points.
Are you saying Mike DeBoer doesn't think on his feet all that well?
That is what I'm saying.
That's because that is the first time I've ever heard that.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Who would you rather have right now to get to 7 wins? Indiana or Florida State? Or Florida? Fuck it. Florida can go in there, too. They didn't play this week. So maybe, you know, let's not worry about that. But if you had to choose between Indiana and FSU to get to 7 wins, Indiana's already 1 game ahead because Florida State had a game canceled due to weather. So who you got?
I might take Indiana. Because
Florida State, okay, you got to go.
That schedule's not doing them any favors in this.
Yeah. Time. Because we looked this up earlier. Okay, you're facing the Boston College scoring juggernaut, the Steve Adazio rack-em-up offense that's just going to dump 40 points on you, brother. Here it comes.
Evidently.
the Boston College's offense is the Arizona State defense of offense. We're just like, it's good now?
Sure.
Fine. It's good now. You got to play Clemson. I believe that's at Clemson.
It is, yes.
You got to go to Florida and, like, yes, 36% of this podcast content is about how terrible Florida is, but you're kind of terrible too, so you could lose that game. And there's another tricky one. You got to play Syracuse. You got to play Syracuse. Don't play Syracuse. Why would you do that? Mm. So, yuck. So, Richard wrote this morning. You might end up in a situation where the loser of Florida State, might have to go and reschedule that hurricane canceled game for conference title weekend because Lord knows you ain't going to have plans that weekend just to hit bowl eligibility. So if you're 5-6 and you're Florida State and you don't want to lose your 38-year bowl streak or whatever, hey, ULM, you up? so fucking sad, but that could happen. And meanwhile, okay, Miami is not out of the playoff race yet. UCF and USF are, you know,
undefeated.
Bell could have a New Year's Six play-in game. FAU is out here scoring 69 points on people. In Conference USA. FIU might go back to bowl season. The entire state is doing great, except for y'all's garbage program and its arch rival. That's wild.
I would also, before we do, I believe, a couple of reads, because we need to do those, I would like to point out a team that has given up. That'd be North Carolina.
Oh, just, man. There are very few teams at this point in the year that are statistically out of it in terms of bowl eligibility. It's hard. You just haven't played enough games, most teams, to even get there. There are only two Power 5 schools that are in that position right now. One is Baylor, and the other one is UNC. Sure. I don't know how this... I mean, what, 2 years ago, they were playing in the ACC championship and nearly beating Clemson in the process? What the fuck?
The number one quarterback sitting on the bench.
I was going to say, I would point out that as recently as last year, they sent a first-round quarterback. Mitchell
who's playing pretty well, I gather. Yeah. Right? Like, aren't the Bears doing like better than expected? Anyway.
We're not going to talk about the Bears. Come on.
You lost a good player. But lots of teams lose good players. I mean, we saw UNC falling. I think we picked them for like 4-8. We didn't pick this shit, though.
Yeah, they got...
You didn't pick 59-7.
Not quite. I mean, you did lose Gene Chizik also. And despite questions about exactly how much time in his week he devotes to leg day, the man's upper body is still quite satisfactory, and you need that, you know, especially that close to in a coastal state. You need that kind of ocean-friendly upper body, and you just lack it right now, UNC.
Yeah.
They got tuned up by Virginia Tech, who looks like... I mean, the Clemson game wasn't great for them a few weeks ago, but since then, shit, they held Boston College to 10, and that wasn't a thing we thought would be meaningful. And now it is. And there's a very good chance that we will see a rematch of the Clemson-Virginia Tech game in the ACC championship game. I know. I'm disrespecting Miami. I've watched your games, okay? You're trying as hard as you can to lose them. You're not fooling me.
No, I don't know. I have a different take on Miami, that they're chill. I think that they're like, oh, no, it's cool. It'll work out. Just keep it even.
What Miami football is this year is somebody trying to make a YouTube like stunt video. And like, so far it's going great. Learned to ollie in 2 minutes, jumped over a car, like, it got set yourself on fire and successfully had somebody put you out. It's eventually one of these stunts is going to go very bad.
I'm predicting the game against Notre Dame is probably where that happens.
Bro, they got to play Pitt. They got to play at Pitt. So I've had that on my board, Miami losing to Pitt, and every week I look at it and think, that looks really stupid. I should change it. And then I just think, no, I'm not going
to. I mean, listen, I don't want to suggest that Miami's not good, because Miami is a good football team. They're just like, they're pretty reckless.
Sure. I mean, well, as is on brand and as we prefer for the Hurricanes.
Yeah. Should we do some reads?
Yeah, let's do some reads.
All right. I'm going to get a few of these out of the way to start. First, from Matt, don't be garbage to each other. Matt, if we really believed in that, we probably wouldn't do this podcast and put it out for the public. The nicest thing we could do would be to give this up and to tell people, hey, go listen to classical music or a podcast that's recorded well, or the problems that your friends and family are having. Don't listen to one squeaky-voiced idiot and two men who can't successfully record talk about nothing for anywhere between 53 and 82 minutes. Don't do that. So we're already being garbage to you. I'm sorry. You just start. And then from Taylor wants us to talk about the videos of John Boyce. a little bit. Or I should say the videos by John Boyes, because the videos of suggest that I've been taping him, and I'm not comfortable admitting that. I'll give you a little preview content of the next video he's working on. It's about kickoffs. And he devised, and I don't think this is in the video, so it's hopefully not a spoiler. He devised what I think is the best kickoff solution possible. People are always like, well, move it up or just like get rid of it altogether. No. What John suggested is that on a kickoff, you put the ball on a tee at the kicking team's goal line. And everybody stays off the field except for the kicker. And the kicker gets to kick the ball off the tee as hard as he fucking can. And wherever the ball lands, not comes to rest, or I will say where it goes out of bounds, that's where the other team gets the ball to start their drive. So if he can drop it in and just drop it right on the two, guess what, buddy? 98 yards to go. I think this would be the most enjoyable, like, little mini game that you could have in the middle of a football game.
I only have one wrinkle to add to that, by the way.
Sure.
I was trying to think of how fast somebody could run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this. I think if you have one defender on the play, one, who can either attempt to down the ball, or he can start at the 15 and try to block it.
Where does he start if he has to down the ball?
Well, I mean, that's your choice, right? It's just like there's a neutral zone at the 15 or the 10. I'd have to figure how fast somebody could actually run that and what a kicker's run-up is by seconds so that you make it as close a match between somebody fast and somebody in a kicker winding up. But you have that choice, right? You could make either the super conservative one, which is you send somebody back and you allow them to down the ball wherever the ball is caught and or touched, right? Or you have this one guy who can go for a one-man kick block.
Berserker,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like an absolute berserker, right? Just turn it into like some sort of bizarro punt return / penalty kick situation.
And that's our 18th blown ACL of the year on a kickoff.
Vince McMahon would be proud. This is XFL.
I mean, it is better than the XFL. Jason, you've got one.
So, Tom, who generously donated to Hurricane Disaster Relief as part of this charity to do, I assume this donation was placed more than a month ago, right? That would fit the timeline here.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So Tom's message for us to read was that he would like to thank us for not talking about Notre Dame. Notre Dame at the time would have been somewhere between 0-0 with some amount of expectations off of a bad year, 1-0 or 1-1, which in that range, sure, you probably don't want us talking about Notre Dame. Now the tables have turned quite a bit. We talk about Notre Dame all the fucking time with reason because we love Notre Dame.
Well, because
we love watching Notre Dame.
You're a lifelong Notre Dame fan.
As a lifelong Notre Dame fan, I've finally, y'all have finally seen the light of touchdown Jesus shining down upon you. So now I think, you know, if we were to check back in with Tom, he would thank us for constantly talking about Notre Dame. So Tom, you're welcome.
Do you think a live shutdown full cast at South Bend would be the least attended thing possible? It would actually, you know what? It would feel a lot like Richard Spencer at the University of Florida. Like, people would show up, but it would mostly be to yell at us and scream, fuck you, Spencer.
Yeah, but yeah, it would literally be the same. Fuck you, Spencer. Yeah.
That'd be fine.
So is that where we could go where we would have the most agitators? Because, like, we could go lots of places where nobody would have heard of us. I mean, like, you know, UConn. How would they have ever heard of football?
Well, that is the bad. Dog, because of the dog thing, maybe.
Oh, shit, but, yeah, okay, bad example. Yeah. UMass, fine.
Yeah.
UMass.
Yeah.
Yeah, Notre Dame might be maybe Ohio State, or I don't know.
I think Ohio State would be fine because, you know, we talk enough shit about others. Whereas I don't think Notre Dame revels in that. I don't think Notre Dame fans would listen to this and be like, oh, well, yes, they talked a lot of crap about the Irish, but because Notre Dame fans say crap. But at least other teams got their comeuppance and be like, how dare you?
I don't know, but Notre Dame has like 35 rivals. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like if you're
if you're like a 60-year-old Notre Dame fan and you're listening to this podcast, first of all, you're the weirdest person alive, but you also consider every team in football to be your rival. USC, Navy, Army, Boston College, Georgia Tech, Michigan, Michigan State, you know, on and on and on and on.
See, they are actually the Legend of Zelda of college football, because you got to go all over the fucking country collecting all these weird items that,
Notre Dame is Mega Man is what it is. you got to beat Shillelagh Man. You got to beat Boatman. That's Navy. Navy or Boatman. That's the team nickname, actually, the Navy Boatman. They say Midshipman. They don't say that around them. They'll be a little.
Do you think there's ever been an Admiral Boatman in the Navy? I hope there has been.
Let's Google that right now.
Admiral Boatman or Captain Boatman, USN.
This reminds me, if you own usedairboats.com, can you give it to me, please? It's already purchased, but nobody's using it. I could buy usedairboatsingular.com. I might do that if I have to, but I'd really like to get used airboats. I'm going to do
Hey, I found an Admiral Boatman.
What's his deal?
I think it's fiction.
Shit.
It's from a forum called theliberaldemocrats.com or something. I don't know what they're writing about.
We're going to do a couple shout-outs here before we get to Spencer's read, which is very special. Shout-outs to generous listeners and donors, Shelley Kay, Elliot Bissett, Connor Farley, and Tim Hodgson. Thank you to all of you for donating. Now, Spencer, please do this terrible thing that's going to happen.
So an anonymous donor has requested, you may recognize it. It comes from a television show that was, you know, I think canceled before its time, before it really had time to come into its own.
Well, I think it was prestige television. It was like British television. Like, yep, four episodes. That's all we needed.
Yep. Yep. And initially when I saw this, I thought, well, this is actually the limit. I don't think I can say any of these things, even for charity. I don't think I can go there. I think somebody else will have to do it. But then I had an idea. Did you know that on every iPhone, on the existing iOS, there is GarageBand? And little did you know that GarageBand on your phone just has Beats. So I thought the only way to do this would be to do it somewhere between, I don't know, Losing My Edge and or the Pet Shop Boys. So I'm just gonna start the beat and we're just gonna go with it. Okay, so here we go. You guys tell me which one you like as a bass beat here, just like a
okay, give us a few choices. That's a little too hi-hatty.
Hey,
I like that one better. Yeah,
this,
that's a Drake beat. Yeah,
whoa,
that's just Running Water. No, I think it was number two or number three that I would pick.
Yeah, number two.
That? Okay, good. I'm going to start with that. We'll just, you know, I'll just freestyle. We'll just add things, okay?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm Bill Simmons, and here's what I believe. I believe the defending NBA champs should wear championship belts to every game. I believe that Kanye is a genius. It's just that he knows it, and that's the problem. I believe we should ban the DH, long putters, extra points, the NIT, and pickoff throws. You really want to know what I believe? I believe in the 4-point line. I believe soup is the perfect food. I do. I believe in a Belichick Popovich presidential ticket. I believe that every DiCaprio movie would be just a little better as a Matt Damon movie.
I believe the 2004 ALCS was an act of God. I believe that tug of war should be an Olympic sport. I really believe that one. I'm going to say it twice for effect. I believe that tug of war should be an Olympic sport. That's nice. And finally, I believe that billionaires should pay for their own fucking football stadium.
Record scratch!
Damn, dropping truth.
Mm-hmm. That's a fade out. That's just when you hit the volume.
Yeah.
So I hope, Anonymous, I hope you fucking enjoyed that.
Belichick Popovich. Two men with very similar politics, right?
Yeah, they'd get along just fine. What diversity on a ticket, too. It's very inclusive. There's men and there's men. There's a white guy and a white guy.
And they don't like talking to media. Perfect.
Perfect. That's excellent.
Is there anything we left untouched? There's always stuff that we don't talk about.
They put Kansas on regular Fox, and they got 21 yards.
Oh boy, this was those 21 were a battle, man.
Yeah, it was a thing of drama. And at one point, this was the most exciting thing going on because Penn State was whooping Michigan, Notre Dame was blowing out USC as we do every year. Fuck them. And the race to see whether Kansas could crack a positive integer. I don't know if I use the word integer right. It was some drama to it. People were watching Fox. Like the plan worked. The plan worked. People were flipping from ABC to Fox just to gawk at Kansas. It worked.
Yeah, this I feel like it was not that long ago that we were saying, oh, Kansas is showing signs of improvement. Kansas is maybe, you know, starting to turn a corner. This year has proven that is demonstrably false.
Who said that?
I feel like last year, I'm being serious here. I feel like last year Kansas played some games towards the end of, I mean, listen, they beat Texas. That's a thing we should mention. But they Kansas also like they started playing some close. This game was 24-23 last year.
Yeah, you know what? You can find me saying that last year, probably. I'm going to deny it.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. No. I mean, KU has played TCU tough at least a few times in the past few years. They did not this time.
It did not come to pass. Also, LSU and Auburn still control their destiny in the SEC West. What? How did we get here? How does this keep happening?
That's a really generous way of saying ain't lost to Bama yet.
I mean, yeah, it is. But after they lost to Troy, I assumed that LSU would drop one of the three games they had ahead of them. And they didn't. And they're probably going to finish. There is 8 wins seems absolutely doable. 9 seems attainable as well. Not that long ago, we were on this very show talking about Ed Orgeron's buyout, and that's not a thing right now.
Only rhetorically. We believed in Coach O. We were just reviewing his contract just to make sure, you know, in case the Chargers came calling.
Sure.
That's right, because Ed Orgeron coached the Chargers from 2020 to 2021.
And you want a guy familiar with the program, with the franchise, to come back.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, he just wins in Los Angeles, so.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I would also point this out about LSU. They, both of these programs will probably lose to Bama. I think in very different manners. I think with Auburn, I can see a kind of inactivity, you know, sort of sluggish languor to that game. You know, something like a
something like the, you know, the 27-19 game where they get like a cheap score late. Looks a lot like the Texas A&M Texas A&M game, right, for Alabama. The LSU game, man, I don't know. That's either like a 10-9 game or that's like a 40-3 game for Alabama.
Last year's Bama LSU was the like definitive modern Bama LSU game, right? 10-0. We're gonna get that again. LSU's gonna play its ass off and lose like 12-5.
Yeah, like I just every time you line up the quarterback, I'm like, well, the quarterback's gonna have to move a little bit. Let's see. Who we got? Danny Etling. Okay, 10-0. That's 10-0. That's
where we're starting.
That's where we're starting. Because I just see who's out on the highway alone in the middle of the night trying to dodge those headlights. Danny Etling? All right, I'm going to pray for you, son. I'm going to pray for you. Not going to hope, but I'm going to do some prayer.
And we should also point out, somehow it got worse for BYU. Lost 33-17 to a very bad ECU team.
So you got BYU and Georgia Southern in almost literally the same situation. They were both 1-5 or so. Georgia Southern was even worse. Playing 1-5 or so teams and getting their asses kicked. Georgia Southern responds by firing its coach. Tyson Summers is gone. This is maybe the first time we've ever mentioned him on this program. Probably not a good sign. BYU, meanwhile, you know, okay, Kalani Sitake had a good debut year, so you're probably not firing him anyway. But it's, like, not even on the table. Like, you literally can't. You have to hire, a member of the church. And, well, you already did. So, he's going to stay.
Yeah, let me give you, by the way, the East Carolina profile, just to show you exactly what happened. Remember, East Carolina has already fired its defensive coordinator. Always a great sign when your defensive coordinator has been canned less than 8 weeks into the season.
That happened like week two. That shit was early.
Yeah. Because East Carolina, by the way, I want you to just name a bad defense. Name a defense you go, oh man, like Louisville. Man, Louisville's just a stank defense. Yeah, they're 87th in terms of total scoring. They're much better than this team. How much better? Oh, Reader. It gets so much worse. Man, Missouri, that's just a sieve and cleats out there, right? Yeah. They're 122nd in the nation in terms of total scoring points per game, and they're significantly better because you can't actually be worse than East Carolina. They are, in terms of allowing points, the worst scoring defense in the nation, and have in their best effort prior to this game allowed somebody to score a stingy 34 points, doing it twice, once against Temple, once against James Madison, the notoriously explosive Temple offense. And BYU lined up, put up 17 against a fruit stand in an action movie, Chase. That's what the East Carolina defense is. And BYU couldn't even drive through it.
Even after this game, ECU is giving up 7.5 yards per play, which means that third down should not exist if you play them. They have given up more rushing yards and more passing yards in 8 games than Alabama has total yards in 8 games. And it's not even it's like Alabama's got them by at least 200 yards in both. It's and yet against BYU, a respectable 5.85 yards per play allowed and 17 points scored. I know Matt Brown already wrote about this, I think earlier this week or last week rather. BYU is just whew.
I was going to start adding things like, can we give them a handicap? Because my idea for unsportsmanlike penalty calls isn't that the player is ejected. It's much like hockey in that you have to play a man down for X number of minutes.
Right.
Right? Or a quarter, and then he can come back so that you can't manipulate the drive, right? Like,
well, if it's 2 minutes, we'll just stall for time to get them back on, right? Because people will do shitty things like that. No, you just make it like a quarter, right? And you should have to play a man down, or even just for the drive, right? If BYU were playing a defense that only had 10 men on the field, do you think they could average, do you think they could score 30 points?
Whose defense is the starting point?
I'm going to give you a recognizable quantity. Let's just start with the Georgia defense if they're playing with 10 men.
Let's take it down.
Okay, so we need to move with 10 men on the field.
No.
Mm. All right, 10 men. Okay, so I'm going to move you down a little bit. What if I rolled the Iowa State defense? Respectable unit.
And you're asking, can BYU get to 30 in the game if they're playing Iowa State with 10? Red card Iowa State.
Can BYU... Yeah, Joel Lanning. I'm leaving Joel Lanning on the field because he's playing like 8 positions, and that wouldn't be fair.
No.
No. Okay. I'm gonna boot you down a little bit further.
I think yes at this point, but let's keep going.
You think yes. Okay. I'm going to boot you down further to a unit that we've all seen struggle this year. That would be the Louisville offense, which has had some very stanky moments indeed. I got 10 men on the field for the entirety of the game, and I have the BYU offense with 11. Can we get to 30?
I mean, Louisville can probably put 11 out there. I think we've seen Louisville give up 40-something to Boston College. So the explosive and productive Boston College, nevertheless.
Held down Florida State, though.
Well, sure, but...
Got Jimbo mad enough to yell at a fan.
That's why I want to end this episode, by the way, is talking about that a fan in the stands yelled out at Jimbo Fisher, hire new coaches. And what did Jimbo Fisher say in response?
He said, bring your ass down here and fight me and say it to my face or whatever.
Which is a weird thing to say, because it's not like the fan is yelling that from the stands because he's a coward. He knows that he's not allowed to just hop the fence and tell you to fire the like.
It's like a vampire. Once you're invited,
I see.
Yeah, he can do it. That's like, right. I mean, Jimbo was standing in the ring and he was saying to the Titantron, anybody out there in the locker room who wants to tell me to fire a coach, you bring your ass to this ring. And you know what? Did the guy do it? Nope.
I kind of wish that he had. I kind of wish that he had just like not aggressively, not violently, just like. Said, hey, you know, coach wants me on the field. And security says, oh, I don't know if coach wants it. And just walked over to him and said, hire new coaches. And Jimbo would have just been like, said,
I respect your boldness in offering this advice, and I am obligated to accept. I will return with pelts.
Sir, you, brave sir, you are our new offensive line coach. Congratulations.
I would, by the way, this is one of those matchups where there are some fan bases and coaches where I would say that the fan base was definitely about it and the coach was not,
mm-hmm.
or that the coach was about it, but the fan base was not, right? For instance, I don't know, if Brian Kelly has a fan yell that at him and he says, you bring your ass down here and talk to me. Neither one of them is about it.
Right.
Neither one of them. Right. Brian Kelly doesn't want to hit in the face.
But if Jim Mora says it to a UCLA fan, oh man, Jim Mora would love to kill again. Would love Jim to kill again.
he might be exiting the field at this point, even after a victory this week.
Into the stands on his own.
Yeah, no, he might just be looking for guys, right? Like, what, you hold a drink? Just Mr. I'm holding a drink sitting there?
Good win. Hey, good win, coach. Say that fucking shit again. Say it one more time. I got a knife in both of my shoes.
To be accurate, if you go in the UCLA stands, you are going to be literally looking for people.
Yeah.
They're not easy to spot.
This is why, listen, I know that we've spoken a lot of bad things into existence, like the Penn State Notre Dame National Championship game, but...
And also Lane Kiffin scoring 69 points.
Also that.
Yep.
But
yep.
UCLA head coach Steve Adazio.
God almighty.
What did they ever do to you?
Sorry, please continue.
I was saying,
And if LSU, if it's LSU, right? Actually, if it's most places and most coaches in the SEC West, I'm pretty sure they're all about it. Now, they might have some bad information and some poor judgment, right? For instance, if it's Ole Miss, I think the coach would be about it because he's a big old lunk. I think the guy in the stands, he might be about it for 2 seconds and then realize he's miscalculated and made a serious error and drastically overestimated his ability to fight, because that sounds like an Ole Miss fan.
Gus Malzahn is not about it.
No, Gus Malzahn's not about it because fighting isn't on his list of things to do that day that he wrote down at 4:45 a.m. So, sorry, can't do it. Just not programmed. If you'd scheduled it, it could be in there, right? Dan Mullen? I am afraid Dan Mullen would be about it.
Right? Yeah, but he'd be in a real, like, high school wrestling way. He's like, all right, we're going to do this. There, I got the mat over here. I got my brother... Rick, he's going to ref it, all right? He hates me, so don't worry. He's going to be fair. I got the singlet on already. There's one for you. Let's go.
Yeah, he's just – yeah, the Mississippi State fan is going to be like, I ain't taking my chaw out.
Me neither.
Yeah. you know, it puts his mouth guard in over it, right? but, yeah, like everyone in the SEC West, I'm pretty sure about. Everyone in the SEC East, I'm definitely sure they're not. Like all of them. Like
Derek Mason's about it.
Jim McElwain will be like, you'll hear from my attorney.
Fighting a Vandy fan. What in the world is that? Fighting a Vandy fan's like Butler.
Well, no,
that's a drunk orthodontist.
You sideswipe his dad's Mercedes.
You hit my other Range Rover.
Hang on now. Will Muschamp versus South Carolina fan? Come on now. That's
no. Right, I had two coaches and two fan bases where I was pretty sure that there was a 100% matchup between bout it in the stands and absolutely bout it on the field. One, Will Muschamp. He's wanted to kill someone for years. Mm-hmm. And two, a South Carolinian, famously the most impulsive Americans with the worst judgment.
Oh, they'll always spoil for a fight. They're just always raring to go.
Who will fire first and with no understanding of the odds? South Carolina. And the other one would be Florida State. Like, I am 100% certain that that person in the stands was like, I'm going to walk myself down there. I got it. And Jimbo was like, I'm going to take my shoes off to fight.
We're going to get real West Virginia out here.
I got to take my clogs off. Hold on.
You son of a bitch. You want to do this mountain style?
Like, you'll be like, why does Jimbo have a 3-inch long thumbnail? Oh, God, he's trying to take his eye out with it.
He just grew it. I saw him. He grew it right then.
You want a Virginia brand, you son of a bitch?
Like fucking West Virginia Wolverine.
Yeah. Be like last of the Brohicans down there.